Good morning. Welcome to worship on this Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. As we turn and flip the calendar to the season of Advent in the church, starting next Sunday, we will be moving toward Christmas and Epiphany, and then the cycle begins again. Pastor Ben is officiating at his brother's wedding in Northern California this weekend, and will be returning to us right after Thanksgiving. Welcome especially to those of you who are worshiping with us online. We want to acknowledge your presence with us in spirit. And I ask all who are able to stand for a brief order of confession and forgiveness as we prepare our hearts for worship. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God, our true life, to serve you is freedom and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer, nor be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Colossians. May you be made strong with all of the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Jesus, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Jesus, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. As we conclude the church year on this Christ the King Sunday, and as we continue our stewardship theme of re-engaging in Christ's mission in our life together at Central, in our daily lives at home, work, or school, and in the larger community, I have to wonder, are any of us prepared? Are we even willing to acknowledge that Christ is indeed King and Lord of all? King and Lord of all, past, present, and future. Do we truly believe Jesus is the Messiah, God's chosen one, the one to whom we owe not only our thanks and praise, but also our full allegiance and undivided loyalty? Do we trust in the promise that through Christ's death and resurrection, we too have been raised up to new life? That by dying on a cross, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for all people of all times, for sinners like you and like me. Luke painted a rather gruesome scene for us in the gospel for today. He tells us Jesus was being crucified and the people stood by watching. Well, the leaders scoffed and the soldiers mocked him. And then there were those two criminals hanging, one on either side of Jesus. One criminal derides Jesus. Meanwhile, the other criminal acknowledges that they are getting the punishment that they deserve. But Jesus has done nothing wrong. Clearly, he believes that Jesus truly is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Holy One of God, the King, because he's bold to ask, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And hanging from the cross, we're told Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus' reply to that criminal should provide us all a sense of assurance and hope. It serves as a reminder that death does not have the final word. That paradise is not just a future reality, it is also here and now. Yet I don't think we should be too hard on that other criminal. At least he wasn't looking out just for himself. Notice what he asked of Jesus. "Save yourself and us." Save yourself and us. Luke emphasizes that while Jesus was innocent of wrongdoing, these two criminals were guilty and deserving of condemnation. Yet I don't want us to take things too far here. It gets a little dicey if we do. Personally, I'm adamantly opposed to the death penalty. And that's in part because I know that we all fall short of the glory of God. In other words, none of us deserves God's unconditional love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And yet that is precisely what has been poured out upon us through Christ's death and resurrection. This, I firmly believe, and by this I mean salvation, is the gift that we are given precisely because Jesus died for our sake. And in doing so, he took on the curse and the sins and the shame of the whole world, including us. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? What does this new life in Christ mean for us, for you and for me? More importantly, what does it mean for our life together? First, without question, it means that our inheritance is secure. We've already inherited the kingdom of God. We've been redeemed by God's mighty act through Christ's death on a cross. Therefore, all that we are and all that we have is a gift of God, from God. And as God's beloved, we have been entrusted with the stewardship of all that exists. Still, we are not alone. God empowers us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit to give generously and to live faithfully, to share freely of our time, our talents, and our treasures for the sake of Christ's mission at Central, in our daily lives, and in the larger community out in the world, the community in which we live and move and have our being. Throughout my life, I've been fortunate to have had mentors who modeled this for me, not just with their words, but more importantly, with their actions. One of those people who comes to mind immediately is my friend Steve. He and his family joined the mission church that I belonged to in Santa Fe, New Mexico, before I went to seminary. Among other things, Steve and I served together on the stewardship team. Now, full disclosure, you should know that even before I became a pastor, I practiced what many refer to as proportionate giving. You see, for me, 10%, a tithe that's biblically mandated, was and still is just the starting point. In fact, for me, it's always felt not merely my duty, but also my delight to give first fruits to the Lord's work. I'm not saying this to be boastful. It's just that I've always had a sense that my financial commitment to the church has actually made me a better money manager of the remainder 90% or less. And I can honestly say that even during the leanest years of my life, when I was putting myself through seminary, I can honestly say I never lacked for anything. So back to my relationship with Steve and our commitment on our stewardship team. One day we were meeting, gathering around the church. Again, this was a mission church. And Steve asked in all sincerity whether the tithe should come before taxes or after. Yeah, you laugh. He wanted to know, is it off your gross income or your net pay? And the pastor, who is one of my nearest and dearest friends and certainly a mentor for me, hemmed and hawed. I knew that that pastor was a first fruit giver, but I suspect he didn't want to appear legalistic about it. And so I piped up. Again, this is before seminary. And I said that for me, it meant to be off the gross. I argued that paying taxes is our responsibility as a citizen, but that first fruit tithing is one way that we put our faith and trust in God to provide all that we need. And would you believe that a congregation of about 100 people, 50, 55 households, that over 20% of that congregation were tithers? Steve became one of those, one among many. But he didn't stop with his tithe. You could find him washing dishes at the local soup kitchen on his lunch hours from work. He was the first one to roll up his sleeves and help out on any church project. And over the years, I watched him take care of several of our elderly members, taking them to doctor's appointments, getting groceries for them, transporting them to and from church. He always did these compassionate acts with a gracious and giving spirit. Steve was one of those people who seemed to live his life by showing through his actions that the kingdom of God is both here and now and not, and at the same time, not yet in its fullness. That is to say, he knew there are glimpses of God's kingdom on earth as in heaven, but he also knew at some unknown point in the future that God's kingdom would come in all its fullness. You can be sure Christ was and still is Steve's king, the Messiah, the chosen and holy one of God. And you know why I can say that with certainty? Because Steve knows full well that Christ died on the cross for an ungodly sinner like him, like those two criminals, like me, and like you. Through Christ dying on the cross and being raised from the dead, Christ has saved, redeemed, and reconciled this whole world. We are God's children, God's beloved, and we are blessed by God. And so we give, not as we ought, but as we are able. And not out of duty, but out of delight. Not because of what any of us has accomplished on our own doing, but on account of what God has accomplished for us through Christ. Of this you can be sure. God has freely given us our time, our talents, and our possessions. Signs of God's gracious love. And they are to be used to the glory of God. Amen. And now, before we sing the hymn of the day, on behalf of Central Stewardship Team, I want to invite you to take a few moments to consider your commitment to re-engage in Christ's mission here at Central Lutheran. After we share the peace this morning, you'll be invited to make your way down the center aisle and to place your commitment card, the one that's in your bulletin, in the basket on that table. No one's going to look at those. We won't be compiling your responses or looking at what you've written. Rather, this is an act in our worship, and it's intended to symbolize our commitment to our shared mission. Yet, it will remain between you and God. And for those of you who were worshiping with us from home, I invite you, too, to consider prayerfully the ways you intend to share your gifts, your time, your talents, your treasures, for the sake of Christ's mission. So take a few moments, and then as the hymn singing begins, I invite you to rise
and give God the glory. Amen.
Saints across every time and all places, we pray for our shared world. We pray for your church and the mission to which you have called us. Empower your people at Central and in our partner congregations within the Emerald Cluster, Bethesda, Emmaus, Faith Lutheran in Junction City, our Redeemer, our Saviors, Springfield Lutheran, the Good Shepherd, and United. Embolden us to be faithful in the work we do together to further your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth. Help us find ways to protect waterways from pollution and animal habitats from destruction. Guide us in careful stewardship of the creation you have entrusted to us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations of the world. Instill in every leader's heart a desire for justice and peace. Support the work of international collaborations that seek the goals of health and well-being for all people. Lord, in your mercy.
We pray for the well-being of all who are traveling this coming week, that their gatherings with family and friends are joyful and that they return home safely. We also lift up those who are lonely, those who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Today we pray especially for Betsy Berg, Aaron Couture, Joy Lathrop, Lori Lund, Doug and Jody Martin, Christine Prescott, and Marnie Reinmuth. Be with all those we've named aloud, those we hold in our hearts, and those known only to you. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for all who have died in the faith and who now find their rest in you. Console us who mourn and comfort us with the beautiful promise of everlasting life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And now again, I'm going to invite you to be seated, but as we hear the anthem being played, I invite you to come forward and place in the basket your commitment card for this coming year of ways that you intend to live out your life of faith.
us pray. Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need, through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift it up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to come forward and gather around the altar rail. If you wish not to have to navigate stairs, you can come and sit in the front pew and the servers will come to you. But come, for all is now ready, and it is Christ who bids you come. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God of the abundant table, you have refreshed our hearts in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road, that we might serve our neighbors with joy. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Few announcements for the good of the community today. First of all, following the worship service, I invite you to go into the parish hall for refreshments today. We have coffee and juice and some goodies. And we'll be having a class today on this whole theme of re-engagement. And so I encourage you to come and join the stewardship team and others as we talk about our life together. The children are going to be in the Godly Playroom, and our classes will start just in a few minutes here. As soon as the service is over, I encourage you to do that. Finally, I want to point out that Together Tuesday is not happening this week because of Thanksgiving. Chorale is practicing on Tuesday evening rather than Wednesday. And also, we are distributing Advent kits for home kits for devotions for our families. And so those of you with young children are encouraged to take a box home with you. Again, our children are singing at the 11 o'clock service today, so most of the kids will be there. But these kits were prepared by Crystal Miller, our youth minister that we share with United and Emmaus. And they include devotions for the families to do in their homes. And so those are on the back table in the narthex. Finally, I just want to point out that the Advent and Christmas worship schedule is in your bulletin. And I'd love to hear a lot of this. As you tear off this form that asks if you're able to provide soup for the Tuesday evenings or the lessons and carols that's listed on that bulletin, and you can bring that forward and put it in the offering plate, or you can hand it to me at the door. We'd love to have your shared gifts for those events coming up in December. With those announcements, I invite all who are able to stand for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.